The man who was once the prime suspect in the disappearance of toddler William Tyrrell has spoken out for the first time about his ordeal. Washing machine repairman Bill Spedding says the investigation has shattered his life. Here, he's recounting one of his earliest conversations with police.
And he turned around and said, "We know you did it. We're going to get you. I'm going to come and arrest you." And I said, "I haven't done anything. You know, what are you talking about?"
That's Bill Spedding there speaking to Four Corners as part of tonight's episode. It's called Person of Interest. The reporter is Sean Nichols. He's with me in the studio. Good morning to you.
G'day, Hamish.
Who is Bill Spedding?
Bill Spedding is a washing machine repairman or a white goods repairman who's in his late 60s now. At the time of all of this, he was 63. He was just a regular guy running a small business on the mid-north coast in a little town called Kendal and a nearby town called Laurieton. He went and visited a home on September 3 days before September 12, 2014, to fix a washing machine. And that happened to be the home from where 3 days later, William Tyrrell, a three-year-old, vanished without a trace. So he was very quickly drawn into one of Australia's biggest child abduction mysteries as one of the chief persons of interest.
And what was his alibi in terms of the timing?
Yeah, so, well, he, as I said, he was there 3 days earlier, and on the Friday that William disappeared, he disappeared around 10:15 or 10:30 a.m., Bill Spedding was in his office at nearby Laurieton, went to a cafe and had to attend the school assembly of one of his grandchildren. So at exactly that time, he had a very strong alibi, but it took police a long time to follow that up.
It was many months, according to some of the documentation around your investigation.
No, absolutely. That grab that we just heard was him recounting one of the detectives that had picked him up and interviewed him a few days after William's disappearance. And during that interview, he had told those detectives about his alibi. He told them where he was, and he recounts in our story tonight how he was shaken after that interview, and he went and stayed at a relative's house, and they very quickly realised that his bank statement contained a record of where he was when he bought that coffee and food with his wife on the morning that William disappeared. So he recounts to us that the next day he rang the detective in question, and Bill Spedding claims that the detective said to him, "I'm sick of your bullshit, stop contacting me."
You also spoke to Bill Spedding's wife, Margaret. Let's just play a short clip of that.
"I would like to hear the police apologise to him what they put him through, because they just told him that they're going to ruin him, and they did."
What's been the impact of all of this on Bill Spedding and his family's life?
Well, one of the worst things about this, Hamish, is that at one stage, right in the middle of their investigation of him, which was very public because they raided his home and the media was apparently tipped off, so he was the number one person of interest. Right in the middle of this, the lead detectives on the case decided to charge him with historical child abuse allegations dating back to 1987. These had nothing to do with the William Tyrrell disappearance. And in fact, we've established, and we report this in tonight's program, that those allegations, 30 years old, were thoroughly investigated by police and discredited at the time. So the bizarre decision to reinvestigate them in the middle of the time when he was person of interest on an unrelated case, again, placed him in the public mind as an accused pedophile. He was dragged, he was imprisoned, he was put in Cessnock jail, and it took months and months and months for his trial to come to the district court, whereby the case was basically thrown out.
Am I right in thinking that he and his wife had their grandchildren?
They had them removed? Taken away. His business has been destroyed. I mean, you can imagine, this case received not just national but international publicity. It's never been solved.
How long did it take you to convince Bill Spedding to talk?
He, it didn't take a long time because he hasn't been able to tell his story thus far. There have been restrictions on him, and it must be disclosed that he is now suing the New South Wales police. So he does have a reason to talk at the moment. He's decided to talk to Four Corners because he knows that we will dig into what happened, verify, you know, many of his claims, and present a balanced perspective on it all.
Now, I think it's worth noting as well that the former detective, Gary Jubelin, who was very public in his role in this, he denies telling Bill Spedding that he was going to ruin him. But he's appeared in the weekend newspapers in advance of this. Should we be viewing all of this in a sequence?
Sure. So, well, I can fill your listeners in on that. I mean, we approached Gary Jubelin very early in the piece, and he declined to talk to us. And there were pretty good reasons for that. He's very concerned that the inquest into the disappearance of William Tyrrell is ongoing. Plus, he's facing his own criminal charges. Police have charged him with allegations of illegally recording another person of interest in the case. So his career's over too. So his reputation is on the line. So once we told him we were doing the story and we wanted to put the allegations made by Bill Spedding to him, he very quickly changed his mind. The piece that he wrote on the weekend was, I think it was very reasonable because he's very concerned that he doesn't want to get in the way of the work of the inquest. And that's what that piece was pretty much aimed at.
And in terms of the police pursuit of Bill Spedding, I mean, does tonight's Four Corners explore why they appear to have gone after him so hard?
Yeah, there are theories, and the strongest theory is that they didn't have anybody else. It was an incredibly high-profile investigation. There was huge, as you can imagine, Hamish, there's huge pressure coming down on detectives in a case like this, right down from the minister through the police commissioner. The police made some errors in their assessment of some of the material that was before him, and we explore that, things to do with his mobile phone and data that was on his mobile phone that was misinterpreted by police, and police didn't actually go and check it out properly. So that fueled their suspicion of him. So they had him as the prime suspect. They had nobody else, and they were under enormous pressure.
Often when there's these big high-profile cases, the detectives will use the media and the public dimension to all of this to pressure certain suspects to try and glean further information. I mean, is that the point you're getting at?
Well, I think that's certainly one of the theories that Bill Spedding's lawyer has as to why they focused so strongly on his client. At one point, when he was in Cessnock Jail, all of a sudden walks into his cell another person of interest in the William Tyrrell case. And their theory of that is that they police do this, they hope that they would get them talking. So I think, and his lawyer thinks, and Bill Spedding thinks, that they were trying to pile the pressure on him in the hope that he would break. And the lawyer accuses police of bringing those historical unrelated child sex abuse charges for that very reason. And Gary Jubelin in our program tonight strongly denies that.
Sean Nichols, thank you very much.
Thanks, Hamish.